after Krishna had completed his pastime in this world, his great grandson Brajanab went to Vrindavan and he installed various deities. There was one person still alive who had seen Krishna and who helped Brajanabab to make the deities just to the likelihood of Krishna. Brajanabab wanted to really make sure that the deities which were made were looking exactly like Krishna, and that seeing them had the same effect on the consciousness as standing face to face before Krishna. So after this period of rediscovering Vrindavan and putting deities there, a time came where everything was coming into a forgetfulness. Krishna's pastimes were forgotten because those who were there with him had all left the world. And the Vrindavan area was covered by deep, dense jungles. Around the 15th century, this changed when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, who had appeared again as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, sent his servants, the Goswamis, and these were ascetic people, to Vrindavan Dham to again revive the culture of Krishna. I was reminded of this when I came to the to Goloka Dham, and just outside in the village Abenteuer, there's a big map, and you can see in the midst of the forest there is one word, Krishna culture. The German government has recognized this to be a place of Krishna culture, a little bit like Vrindavan. No? This was so the Goswamis came there, and Lord Chaitanya had given them four orders. They should discover the lost places of pastimes where Krishna had acted out his fascinating leelas. They should establish the worship of his deities by going through the authorized scriptures and finding out exactly how the Lord should be worshipped, you know, how an artic should be done, how he should be bathed, how he should be awakened from his dream in the night, how he should be worshipped. That was the second thing. Rediscover the lost places of pilgrimage or the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, build temples there, establish the worship of the deity there, yes, and write profusely scriptures which would glorify Krishna. If you want to glorify God, you need to make a place where there is a temple and where people can come, where they can worship Krishna, and where they can also learn about Krishna. How was he? How is he? How does he smile? What is going on in his mind? So the Goswamis re-established Krishna's culture or Krishna's worship after it was covered. Now there was one Goswami. He was actually known as the second self of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami had been a minister before. He spoke fluently four languages, that is Sanskrit, Bengali, Persian, and other languages. I don't know if he spoke German, but I would not be surprised. He took to a life of renunciation. My dear devotees, he walked through Vrindavan, and he didn't have a place where he would stay, not a hut or something, but he would stay each night under a particular tree. And he was fond of writing. He had some disciples who made ink for him from flowers and who collected palm leaves and dried them so that they were ready for him to write. And he wrote so ecstatically, it is described, that sometimes when he described the meetings of Radha and Krishna, the trees were all of a sudden covered with flowers like these here. No? And when he would describe how Radha and Krishna were separated from each other, the same trees started to cry. The sap or juice came out. He was really writing with a pen that made Radha and Krishna appear. So this Rupa Goswami had been successful to locate a few holy places, but there was a great sadness in his heart. The sadness was that he had heard that right after Krishna's disappearance, Vrajanabab had made a deity of Krishna who looked exactly as sweet as Krishna. And when one would look at this deity, one would forget all other attractions to the material world. One would give up material life and just become madly in love with Krishna. So this deity was known as Govindaji or Govindadev. Sometimes it is described like this, but Rupa Goswami knew he must be in Vrindavan, but it was not possible for him to locate these this deity. So once he was writing one of his beautiful compositions about Krishna, when one of his cowherd men came to him. Rupa Goswami, this is not known so much, maintained 500 cows. 500. 500 cows. Why was he a passionate milk drinker? No. Lord Chaitanya had told him he should maintain the sadhus who lived in Vrindavan and who needed to eat and some of these exalted souls just lived on milk. one of his cowherd men who took care of these 500 cows came to him one day and said, "Baba, I just wanted to say, I have now watched one of the cows. Every morning the cow comes out of when the cow comes out, he or she goes up a hill, and there she pours the milk of her udders into a hole. We cannot even get a drop of milk out of her because she gives all her milk in this hole on top of a hill. What do you think about this?" Rupa Goswami was in ecstasy and he shouted, "Govindaji's Kripa!" And he got up, he went there, and on the way he ordered some Brijbasis who were there, "Come along with me, bring your shovels, bring your pikes and these tools which you use to move earth on the field. And then he came with a whole group of curious Brijbasis on top of the hill and said, "Dig here, Govindaji is here. I know it. The cow has come every day to give him his morning bath in milk." So the Brijbasis, these farmers, did it. And I think they removed how many layers of earth? They had to go really deep.
Five stories.
I also remember something like five stories. You know, a house has first story, second story, third story. You have heard from our Indradumna Maharaj. Good. And they really needed to dig down. Some of them, I can imagine, wanted to give up. It was so deep. They were not archaeologists, you know. But at the end, they could find the top knot of Govindaji's hair, and then they removed the earth, and there was the most beautiful deity of Sri Govinda Dev. Rupa Goswami took him immediately into his, he took care of him, and he immediately brought him into a hut which he had built. It was made with clay, with the earth, and there was a roof with leaves, and he started to worship this Govindaji only and strictly with items from the forests, leaves, forest flower garlands. He made earrings with flowers. He, from an old tulsi, he made a tulsi crown. You know, these were all wooden beads, and it was a crown of Govindaji. He worshipped the Lord with the items of nature. Only after, and he had many festivals. He served them fruits from the forest. He had festivals, holy festivals, color throwing festivals, bathing festivals, Jamashtami festival, Radhastami festival. There was all the time a festival going on. Now, one day, he decided it's time to write a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote with his beautiful handwriting a letter which was sent by messenger to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on this letter it said, "Mahaprabhu, I'm so much absorbed in Govindaji's temple, a seva, from morning till noon to night time, that I cannot write the scriptures, I cannot build temples, I cannot do all the things which you have asked me to do. Please send some help. This Govindaji is taking up all my time." So then Lord Chaitanya sent him one of his personal servants, Kashishvara, from Puri, and Kashishvara was very, very sad when the Lord asked him to leave him. Imagine, Kashishvara was serving Lord Chaitanya from morning till evening, but then Lord Chaitanya said, "Go now to Vrindavan to assist Rupa Goswami in worshipping his Govindaji deity." So Lord Chaitanya said, "I can understand you don't want to leave, but you will have my association in the form of this deity." And he gave him a deity. This deity came from the temple of Lord Jagannath, of himself. It was a Gaur Govinda deity. Gaur Govinda deity. So so, yes, I just want to tell you, Rupa Goswami still oversaw the worship of the deity. And when finally, when one day a great, great general came and wanted to build a temple, a big temple for Govindaji, he said, no need. Krishna is a forest boy. He likes to go in the forest. He likes to decorate himself with forest ornaments. He likes to stay in mud and huts. He is not a man of the city. That's Vasudev Krishna. But Braj Krishna is a forest boy. And this general, his name was Mansingh, had to really work hard on Rupa Goswami to convince him to build the Govindaji temple. And Rupa Goswami only agreed because he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire was that everyone would be able to come to see Govindaji in a nice temple, and there would be kirtans going on in the temple. There would be readings of the scriptures going on, and there would be other things which would raise the consciousness of the general mass of people, the ordinary people. Anyways, this was a little bit the scene in which the post Krishna scene, the Chaitanya scene, and I wanted to read to you I should just say, when the temple was built, Rupa Goswami moved from the area where Govindaji was in a hut, worshipped in a hut. He moved to Sevakunj because construction work is usually very loud. I know you will construct the guest house very soon, and I already have heard that the Grihasthas who live in there make plans to leave because it is not possible to live in a construction site. So Rupa Goswami went also from Govindaji's temple to Sevakunj. And I want to just tell you very movingly, he was writing there, and he became quite old. So one day the devotee said, let us take you to Govindaji, your beloved deities. And they took Rupa Goswami with some help, you know, one went on the left side, the other on the right side, to Govindaji. And Rupa Goswami saw his beloved deity. He had some pavitras. These are these colorful garlands with 108 knots each one, like this. And he was hanging these garlands over Govindaji because, he wanted to worship him. Then he went three times around Govindaji in worship. And then he went home to Sevakunj and left his body. Went to join Govindaji in the eternal spiritual world. So at the end of his life, it must be a little bit before what you have heard just now, he wrote two compositions which amongst those who worship Rupa Goswami are the most, they are considered to be the swan songs. You know, when a swan sings his last song, that is just before he dies, no? Then he will raise his voice again and sing his last song. That song is the most beautiful song which he has ever sung. So here is one of the prayers of these swan song prayers which Rupa Goswami wrote, and they tune us into Jamashtami like anything. Let me just put the little orchestra here. Mm. Imagine, this is a old saint, Rupa Goswami. He feels his life is ebbing out of his body, and he sits down one last time to raise his voice. Tishtan vrindata vikunye vigyaptim vidadatyaso vrindata vishayopada padmeshu kripanojana. A very poor man living in Vrindavan forests presents the following request at the lotus feet of Vrindavan's king and queen. Who is this very poor man living in Vrindavan's forest who requests the Lord? Can you imagine? It's himself. Gogovinda says, it is most probably Rupa Goswami himself. You are right. A poem, a poet, sometimes will write in the third person. This man, I'm asking this man to look into the mirror and change his ways. No, this is a poet. What he says is, I should look into the mirror and I should look at my life and see, not good. Let me change my ways. This is poesy. No, you write in the third person. So a very poor man. Sometimes the Goswami used the word a kangal, a beggar, lives in Vrindavan forest. The tears which have come from his eyes are so hot that they left burning marks in the heart, and he is now revealing his heart. And he then speaks so nicely. He speaks, Krishna, the effulgence of your transcendent body is more beautiful than a bright blue lotus flower. O Radha, O Queen, your complexion is even defeating the intense pride of yellow Gorochana. Have you ever seen yellow Gorochana? If you look at our... please get up, Gogovinda, and present your good pullover. It is the highlight of this pullover. This is yellow, but it is a little dark yellow because our man comes from Croatia. Thank you very much. Radharani has a bright yellow. Igore, it's a little like your yellow stripes. Can you please, just so that we understand. See, it is a very bright yellow. Turn around. Yeah. Thank you. Very good dresses you have, the two of you. A very, very luminous yellow. This is how you look, Radha. And he then describes a little bit about Krishna and Shrimati Radharani. He says, Radha, when you joke with Krishna, Krishna's bodily hairs stand erect in pleasure because your jokes are giving him so much ecstasy. And he describes a little of the Lord. But then he comes to his point. He says, loudly crying and taking a straw between my teeth, this sinful soul begs, O King and Queen, please be kind. He says, you should you should be kind, because a great personality is kind even to those who do not deserve his kindness. No, a real powerful personality will just give you his kindness even if you don't deserve him. And he says something. He's very beautiful. He says, if you think I don't deserve your mercy, please remember that sometimes I'm chanting your holy name. I'm not so bad. Sometimes I'm chanting. This is my qualification. Sometimes I'm chanting. So if you, and then he says, I want something from you. When I walk through the forest, would you be so kind so that the splendid fragrance of your transcendental bodies overwhelm my nose with immeasurable happiness? Will I hear how you walk through the forest of Vrindavan and the tinkling of your ankle bells will make music and delight my ears? Will I one day walk through the Vrindavan forest and see footprints on the ground with the auspicious signs of a chariot wheel and other such things and become mad with joy? So he begs in this prayer for the direct darshan of the Lord, but because he's shy, he first talks about all these invisible things of Krishna, how he smells. You don't see the form, but you smell it. How he walks, and there is a tinkling of the ankle bells. You don't see him, but you hear him, and so on and so forth. And then in the end of this prayer, he says, and will you please allow me that I do your direct service, that I pick flowers for you, make garlands and decorate you with garlands and so on. And finally, he ends his prayer by saying, what am I saying? What am I? I'm a sinful man. How can I make such a request? And then he gives the explanation. You are so attractive that I just cannot keep my mind away from you. I just have to somehow serve you. I think this is very relevant for all of us. In Vrindavan, there is one wall, and on the wall is a writing in English. Why we love Krishna so much, we don't know. All we know is we want to serve him. This is written by devotees. Somehow, my dear devotees, you also have been given some attraction in your heart. I know there are many other attractions also, maybe, perhaps not. But in all this, there is like a jewel which is hidden in a heap of straw, a desire to be with Krishna, to celebrate Krishna, to come here for Jamashtami. I know it's a mixed desire. You also think there will be a nice feast, but somewhere in all of this, in all of our conditioned personality, there is a desire. Let me come closer to Krishna. And this desire, Aditya Baladev, this desire, Gaurahari, you should follow this desire. You should, during the Jamashtami festival, try to improve your relationship to Krishna. Try this to come closer to Krishna. And I think it is not so difficult, because everything is so much, you know, like in the times of Rupa Goswami. Did you also feel when you entered this tent, it was like in the forest, no? This decoration, no? You look at me, yeah? Nice that you're so enthusiastic. Yes, of course. It is very, and how nice the everything is here. It is in the forest. We can celebrate. I would like to, let me just see how long this is going on. Yeah, we have a little bit more before we invite Gokrishna to do kirtan. I wanted to read to you a little bit in Srila Prabhupada's beautiful writings about Krishna. This is chapter 21, which describes how the gopis in Vrindavan talked about Krishna in the morning time. Krishna would leave every morning the village of Vrindavan with his cows, and his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, would walk with him up to the town's gate, and then Mother Yashoda would lament, "Why were you born into a family of cowherders so that you have to go out and herd the cows throughout the day?" And she would go to the little friends of Krishna, who were all eager to go with Krishna into the forest, and she would say, "Keep a good eye on my little Gopal, because he doesn't know his limits. He sometimes plays and sometimes goes to areas where he shouldn't go. Yesterday I walked with two very nice grihastas in our community through the forest, and their little girl was also there, and the father said, "I have to be really careful. This little girl always wants to run into the puddles of water. I have to really keep an eye on her." So Mother Yashoda knew Krishna was also very playful, very joyful always. He's a Dhira Lalita personality. That means someone who has no burden in his mind. All the burden is on the mind of his parents. The little child, no? He has no burden. He's free from burdens because all the parents are always there. So Krishna is like this. He always is very playful and very joyful. When Krishna finally, he said to his mother, "Mother, it's all right. I know how to walk in the forest. You please, you cook something, and around noontime you send a messenger, and he brings my food in the forest." And Mother Yashoda then had something to do and had opportunity to fix her mind on something else than Krishna, the service of Krishna. Anyways, so I want to quickly come to the point. So most of the Vrindavan devotees were very sad in the morning because Krishna would leave them. Only one group of Vrindavan devotees were very joyful. You can imagine who? The cowherd boys. Yes. Subal, Sridham, and so on. They would joke with Krishna. They would carry Krishna's flask. One of them had a little box with Krishna's sweets inside, and they would joke with Krishna and run here and there. And they were very happy to have Krishna's association. So, in the forest, Krishna used to play his flute, and sometimes the wind came and took the sound of the flute and brought it to the ears of the gopis, and the gopis heard it. And what you will hear now is the gopis talking about Krishna's flute and what they can see by hearing the flute song. I think in spiritual life, we don't always want to see everything. Seeing is not the only proof. Hearing is also proof. When you chant Hare Krishna, you will get a proof that Krishna exists. Seeing is not the only way to to see actually or to notice something. Once Prabhupada gave a lecture in Mumbai, and someone said, "You always say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yet, I only see Krishna on your altar, no Ram." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you do not see? Ram is Ram. The sacred sound of Krishna's, of this name Ram, is also Ram. Why do you say only seeing with the eyes is seeing? You can also see through your ears." This is transcendental philosophy. I think you have heard about this in the... It is known to us, but maybe not always realized by everyone. Anyway, so the gopis hear the sound of Krishna's flute and they see all the pastimes of Krishna. And now I will give you Prabhupada's beautiful writing. Krishna was very expert in playing the flute, and the gopis were captivated by the sound vibration, which was attractive not only for them, but it was attractive to all living creatures who heard it. One of the gopis told her friends, "The highest perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram entering the forest and playing their flutes and tending the cows with their friends." This is the perfection of the eyes. If you can be there and see how Krishna and Balaram play on their flutes and move with their friends into the forest, perfection has been reached. Now, Prabhupada in the next passage talks about meditation. Persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Krishna internally and externally by thinking of him, playing the flute, entering the Vrindavan forest, and tending the cows with the cowherd boys, they have really attained the perfection of samadhi. Samadhi trance means absorption of all the activities of the senses in a particular object. And the gopis indicate that the pastimes of Krishna are the perfection of meditation and samadhi. So we do this in our Vaishnava culture. We hear about Krishna, and as we hear about Krishna, we try to gather our thoughts and just put our thoughts to the sense of hearing and hear what the text says. And as we hear, sometimes we get an idea of what Krishna is like. So please do this in preparation. Another gopi expressed her opinion about Krishna and Balaram. "I have this opinion about them." "I think they look just like actors who are ready to play on a dramatic stage. Krishna was dressed in glowing garments of yellow. Balaram in blue." And see how they are dressing themselves. "And they held new twigs of mango tree." They had twigs, sticks in their hands from mango tree. "Peacock feathers and bunches of flowers in their hands. They were dressed with garlands of lotus flowers. And they were sometimes singing very sweetly among their friends." One song which they sang is Krishna, Krishna. One moment. To find Krishna Kanai. Krishna Kanaiya Dauji Kebaya. We will do like this. Maybe we can, where Igor is, we can just, you on this side, please move a little bit more to this side. And you on that side, move a little to the, what is it, your left side, like this, no? So there is, there should be some, yes, Stike. So one side, you are one group of coward boys, you will sing Krishna Kanaiya. And you're the other group of coward boys, and you will sing Dauji Kebaya. Krishna Kanaiya. 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 Some would sing, oh, Krishna is a little boy, Kanaiya. And others would sing, ah, Dauji, Balaram is his older brother. Ah, and they would do these songs. They were in the Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami. You find many songs which were sung by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Many songs. There's one, Pahi. Just now, it's not coming, but I'm also not a good singer, so no problem. So, one other gopi said, "My dear friends, we cannot even think of his bamboo flute. What sort of pious activities did it execute? So that it is now enjoying the nectar of the lips of Krishna, which is actually the property of us gopis." You know, the gopis would hear the flute song and they would understand, oh, Krishna's beautiful lips, which when they kiss us, give us so much sweetness. They are now kissing this bamboo flute. And the problem with the bamboo flute is it's a male person. This is extraordinary. And why? And then they would say, how is it possible that the flute, which is nothing but a bamboo rod, is always engaged in enjoying the nectar from Krishna's lips? Unfair. Because the flute is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, the mother and the father of the flute must be very happy. So, who are the mother and the father of the flutes? Well, the lakes of Vrindavan and the rivers of Vrindavan, they are the mother and the father of the bamboo, because the bamboo grows by being nourished by this water. No? They must be very proud. Just like I know when a person becomes a devotee, the mother and father are sometimes very proud of him. I know when in the past, when my father was not so old, he would come to the lectures which I would give And I remember one in Hamburg, and he, at the end of the lecture, he said, yes, my dear son, the physicists, they also say everything is based on frequency, just like in your Vedas, you know. And he got up, and he was very proud that his son was speaking to so many educated people. And he, so in the same way, the gopis say that we can imagine the river and the lakes are so proud of the bamboo, because the bamboo is touching Krishna's lotus lips and making all these wonderful sounds. But they were envious on the bamboo thing. They said, the bamboo is singing so shamelessly about Krishna's lips. This should be confidential. But it makes it known everywhere. This bamboo is a little... It has so many knots also. That is, his character is knotted. It's a little problematic. So the gopis would talk like this from morning till evening about Krishna. And they would say many, many things. For instance, they would hear something. Krishna is so beautiful that even the wives of the demigods become attracted. They come in the air with their transcendental airplanes. They are not UFOs, they're much better. They come and they sit and they hear Krishna's flute song, and they become so enchanted that their cloth sometimes becomes loosened, and they faint into the laps of their husbands, and their husbands are not envious on Krishna, who is so attractive to their wives, that their cloth becomes disarrayed and that they faint. No, the husbands are supporting their wives in their attraction to Krishna. And the gopis say, we are not so fortunate. Our husbands are jealous at Krishna that he has all our hearts. So in this way, there's a long, long discussion. If you like to read about Krishna in Vrindavan, it's in chapter 21. The gopis are attracted by the flute of Krishna. Krishna would every day morning go out into the beautiful forest of Vrindavan, and he would play with his flute, and the gopis would hear it in the village of Vrindavan. And once they could not keep themselves any longer in Vrindavan, and they all went in a procession to the Govardhan Hill, from where the sound of Krishna's flute was coming. Wow! Krishna saw his dear devotees and left the cowherd boys and spent time with the gopis. And then the Krishna said, I have to go now. The time is also there, and I need to be with my friends. So he left the gopis. And at that moment, the gopis became so distressed. They called out, Haridev! 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 Yeah, this is a name of Lord Hari, Haridev. They were so enchanted. So Krishna then said, I will do one thing. I will manifest in a beautiful deity, and you can come every day to the Govardhan Hill and see him in this temple, and be in my closeness in this way. You can look at Haridev, and then you will see me. And saying this, he manifested from his own body a beautiful deity of Haridev, whom you can visit today at the Govardhan village of Govardhan town. Anyways, my dear devotees, I want to just, what I would like to say today is, Monday is the appearance day of this most wonderful, playful, supreme personality of Godhead, the Lord of Love. And it is important that in our life we get these impulses or memories that really the purpose of our human existence is to make a relationship to this Krishna. So often in our lives, we lose the purpose out of our eyes. Some of us have to work, and this takes a lot of time to work. Others have children and need to educate their children nicely, take care of the children. Or just to live in this world, you have to spend many hours to go shopping for potatoes and vegetables. Then you need to cook it, then you eat it, then you are tired afterwards, you have to sleep, and then there are all the bathroom activities which follow eating. Life in this world takes a lot of attention away from us so that we can't think of God, we can't think of Krishna. Just to manage our life is so distracting. And many of you have these little distraction monsters in their trousers, in their pants, you know, with WhatsApp, 1,008 WhatsApps a day, and no WhatsApp talks about Krishna and his flute sound, Hare Krishna. That is life in this. Life has become exceedingly complicated. But this does not matter if you know what is the goal of your life. What is it that you want to attain? I want to end by telling you that once I was flying from Mumbai back to Europe, and I was next to a person who was dressed in a very official dress, like the captains have who fly an airplane, and he had a little instrument. He took it out and he would say, "Oh, we have lost the course. We are not on course." You know, he looked at me, "Not on course." I said, "Things happen, life happens." Then after 10 minutes here, I said, "We are totally off course, away from the right course." And after 1 hour, where he said, "Always, we are not on the direct way, we have gone a little bit more to left and more to right," I said, you seem to know this. "Yes, I'm a captain also. I'm a flight captain also. May I know, will we reach? I mean, this airplane is meant to land in Frankfurt. Will we reach in Iceland or somewhere?" And then he said, "Of course we will reach. Because the captain inside..." Now he said like this: "When you fly, young man, there are these winds in the sky, high up in the sky, and they always move the airplane a little bit too much left or too much right. You follow? It's never right straight on the line. But for this you have a captain. He goes, when he is going a little bit too much levo, and he is going, when he goes a little bit too much desno, in this way, the captain always corrects the flight because he knows Frankfurt, we must reach this goal. So in the same way, a conditioned soul will not always be on the course. Sometimes he will be distracted, or she will be thinking of new clothes and good finger lack for the fingers, and trouble. The man will think of troubles in getting the money for the family, and so on. This is to be expected as you live a human life. However, it is not a problem if you know the goal. If you know the goal, Krishna, and love of Krishna, I want to attain. Because then you can correct when you fly a little bit in the wrong direction. It's easy. And for me, Jamashtami is always a way where I can correct the course of my own life by becoming more aware of Krishna. Therefore, I request you to utilize these times. It is not so easy to have these festivals, and we had to send many away. We can only take so and so many guests for the festival. Somehow you made it on the guest list. And please now use this time very well to correct the course. Maybe you want to do what I want to do. Before I go to bed, I read a little in Krishna book, just so that, during the Janmashtami times. I read many other books also outside, but here I want to just be more mindful of Krishna. I want to correct the course of my life, so that I make sure I will, at the end, reach Krishna. No, it's not a problem when you are weak and sometimes go here. As long as you are honest about it and say, "Oops, I'm not right now in my best Krishna consciousness." Second, and as long as you correct the course, then you will reach, no problem, because Krishna is Kripa Sindhu and Radha is Dayamayi, ocean of mercy, and Dayamayi means her heart is full of mercy. Good. So I will now look at the wristwatch. I have said what I wanted to say. We will do now we will see if you have a little questions, a little interaction. Not just frontal teaching. Bhagavinda, yes. Does he really look like this? Yeah. Seeing Krishna, Bhagavad Govinda says, when I looked at the picture of Govindaji, and we heard this is how Krishna looked, I think, what part of Krishna's body does Govindaji, the face, the face, no? This is how the face looked. And for me, this face was very unusual. First of all, could it be that you have an unusual face? I'm asking this not to create offense. Could it be that our face, is human face, is not the most beautiful face? I'm asking as a theory. Do beautiful beings have to have a nose here? and 2 ears there, and like this. Interesting question, isn't it? I once gave a lecture in the University of Gothenburg, The Arrogance of Humanism. My lecture was called The Arrogance of Humanism. Ooh, it was really... We had first-class professors there. This was a really provocative title. It is that the human being puts himself into the center of the universe. By the way, every one of us is expert to do that. And then we think this is true. This is how beauty and so on should be. This is my first point. The second point is... Krishna can really not be seen with these eyes. Brahma says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. You need bhakti or love to see Krishna. Otherwise, if that bhakti or love is not there, it is very difficult to see Krishna. See, this world we see with our eyes. But can you see the mind? Let me ask you another question. Who or what sees the world? The eye. Who or what sees the eye? The mind. Who or what sees the mind? Oops. The intelligence. I can with my intelligence sometimes say, these thoughts which you have are harmful to you. No, we can see like this. Now, who or what sees the intelligence? The Atma, the soul. Who or what sees the soul? Krishna. So it's not so for us who cannot even see our thoughts, our intelligence, our soul, it is not very easy to see Krishna. You can only see him when your spiritual eyes are opened through devotional service. This is the explanation which I have heard from scriptures, yes. Have you also noted, Bhagavinda, the ISKCON painters all make Radha and Krishna like this. They paint them like this. Very beautiful paintings. But have you seen Indians paint them totally different? Different dress. Different facial features. Have we created Krishna or has he created us? Once you leave your own world of conceptions, once you leave your language game, you will see another reality coming before your eyes, which is much more colorful than you have ever imagined. And yeah, Krishna is like this. He reveals himself. I know this from we have deities, Radha Kanhaiya Lal, and I can, when I chant before them for a long time, I see them differently than if I just see them with the eyes. It is, something is changing. Krishna. What do you think about the analogy of the airplane? It's hope-giving, no? Yeah. Most of the time, the airplane is a little off course, away from the course. So being human means also we are many times just engaged in our human survival mode, But on Jamashtami and other such times, when we read about Krishna, we can correct our life and we become happy. Good, my dear devotees. I want to now end. I see some of you are getting tired. Let me ask you the question, is it warm enough for you or is it a little cold? Cold, yes. Yeah. I was fearing that. We have to talk about with Gaurahari. Maybe he will teach us yogic breathing, the fire breath or something. Tibetan yoga breath. There it is possible. but this we need to address. This is still this is we will address. So, Gaur Krishna, are you ready to sing? Ramanji, will you play Vedanga? Sri Krishna ki jai, Sri Krishna Jamashtami ki, Gaur Premanandi.